A deacon and his wife invited their elderly pastor for Sunday dinner. While the couple was in the kitchen preparing the meal, the priest asked their son what they were going to have to eat. The little boy replied, "Goat." "Goat?" asked the Monsignor. "Are you sure about that?" "Yep," said the youngster. "I heard Dad say to Mom before you came, 'Today is as good a day as any to have the old goat for dinner.'" In the gospel today, we also have an invitation, not to a dinner, but the Lord invites two followers of John the Baptist to come and see where he lived. This is a wonderful passage from the Gospel of John, the first chapter. And it has to do with John the Baptist and two of his own disciples, John the Apostle and Andrew. And as the three of them are standing there, Jesus walks by. And John the Baptist points out to Christ and says, "Behold, there is the Lamb of God." One of the most beautiful, richest titles, one of my favorite titles of Christ in the entire scripture, the Lamb of God. From the first book of the Bible to the last book of the Bible, the idea of the Lamb is so important. We have in the Old Testament the Passover Lamb. The Passover Lamb, the Paschal Lamb as it's called, was slaughtered in place of the firstborn. God told the Israelites, take a lamb. It had to be a one-year-old male lamb, unblemished, a pure lamb, that would then be taken and slaughtered by the evening twilight. Its heart would be pierced, the blood would flow out, and then they would take the blood and put it on the doorpost. And the angel of death would pass over. That's where you get the word Passover from. The angel would pass over and not strike down the firstborn of the family, because they saw the blood of the lamb had been sacrificed in place of the firstborn son. So now, then the Israelites would then consume the lamb in a holy meal. So how does Jesus fulfill this? Well, Jesus, according to John the Baptist, is God's Lamb. He is the Lamb of God. And it's by Christ's blood that we are washed clean of our sins. It is by the blood of the Lamb that Jesus died for us. He took our place on the cross. He sacrificed Himself so that we might live and have eternal life. And just as the Lamb in the Old Testament, Jesus was the New Testament Lamb, who was like a lamb led to the slaughter, who opened not his mouth, who was led to his execution, and he was pure, he was unblemished, he was holy, he was spotless. And then he was elevated on the cross, and his heart was pierced through, and his blood poured forth, and by the shedding of his blood, we were washed clean of our sins. And then not only that, Jesus gives us Himself in the Eucharist, in the Holy Meal. So we then receive Him and are nourished by Him at the Eucharist. Just as the Israelites were nourished by their lambs on their way to the Promised Land, so we are nourished by Jesus, the Lamb of God, in the Eucharist on our journey to the Promised Land of Heaven. And then in the book of Revelation, we see that this lamb once slain was now risen from the dead. So Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father. He was that lamb who was slain for us, who died for us, who then gives us Himself in the Eucharist and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. So John the Baptist says, "Behold, there is the Lamb of God." So his own two disciples, John the Apostle and Andrew, leave him and go to follow Christ. They now follow the Lamb. And Jesus turns around and he says to them, "What are you looking for?" It's a question he can ask all of us. What are we looking for in life? Are we looking for peace of mind, peace of heart? What are we looking for in life? Well, the only way we can get that is through Christ. No matter what we're looking for, Jesus is the answer. And so they said to him, "Rabbi, where do you stay?" And Jesus does not give them a long explanation. He just says, "Come and see. come and see. So he invites them to become his disciples. And they stayed with him that day. And that memory burned into their memory so much that they even remember the time of day. It was 4:00 in the afternoon. They remembered the exact hour that they spent with the Lord. And they were so thrilled to have that time with the Lord, to spend that time with him, that immediately afterwards, they go out and evangelize, and they spread their faith. Andrew tells his brother Peter, John tells his brother James, they've said, "We have seen the Messiah. We have found the Messiah." And so Andrew even brings Simon Peter to the Lord, and he says to him, "Simon, son of John, I give you a new name, Peter. You are now the rock upon which I will build my church." And then they discovered their true vocation as followers of Jesus Christ. I think this gospel today relates perfectly with the opening of our Adoration Chapel this evening. As you know, our Adoration Chapel, it's right across from the parish office. It'll be open every Sunday evening from 5 in the afternoon all the way 24 hours a day until Saturday morning at 9 a.m. So about 5 days a week, 24 hours a day, when you can come and spend time with Jesus, the Lamb of God. People say to me, "Father, what's it like to spend time with the Lord in the Eucharist?" And all I have to say to you is, come and see. Come and see. Come and spend time with Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. As Father DeLuca said a few weeks ago, it'll be the most valuable time you ever spend on earth is the time spent with the Lord, gazing upon Jesus, the Lamb of God. So come and see what Eucharistic adoration is like, the amazing graces that you'll get when you spend time with the Lord. He gives you the opportunity to deepen your prayer life with the Lord, to read your scripture, to pray your rosary, or just to sit silently in front of Christ, to pray for your spouse, to pray for your children, your grandchildren, to come to the Lord in times of difficulty. That's how beautiful it is that the chapel will be open 24 hours a day, so you can come anytime if you have a hardship or a trial or difficulty in life. Or if you lose a loved one, you can come in and pray in silence with the Lord. One thing you'll discover is that you'll discover your vocation in life. Whatever God is calling you to. Some of you are still teenagers or college students. You're not sure if you're called to religious life or to the married vocation or to the single life. Eucharistic adoration will help you discover your vocation. It's also a great opportunity to pray for vocations, to pray for an increase in priests and nuns to serve God's church. There was a woman I read about in the last part of the 19th century. Her name was Mrs. Vaughan. She was from England. She had 8 children, 5 sons, and 3 daughters. And her greatest desire would be that some of them would be called to religious life. And so what she did, she made a holy hour every day. Not just once a week, but every day, an hour before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And she offered that time that her children would discover their true vocation. Well, by the time of her death, her 5 daughters had become nuns, her three daughters had become nuns, and her 5 sons had become priests. One was a cardinal and 2 were bishops. Amazing, the power of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament to discover your vocation and to promote vocations also to the priesthood and religious life. This is also, today is the beginning of the week of the prayer for Christian unity. And this is something that when we come before the Lord in adoration, we should pray for Christian unity. The reunion of Christendom, that what happened at the Reformation, at the Protestant Revolt, will be reversed, and that all Christians will come back under the one flock, the one shepherd, and come back to the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church founded by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. So that every Christian can then have the 7 sacraments and be able to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. That's what we pray for, the reunion of all Christendom, that we will all come back under one flock, one shepherd, and to be able to receive Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. The Adoration Chapel will be the greatest blessing here at Holy Trinity, guaranteed. There's no greater thing than to have people praying every day, day and night, before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. We'll see people converting. We'll see people returning to the sacraments. Everybody who drives by will receive special graces just by driving by, because we can then point out, behold, there is the Lamb of God. Behold, there is the Lamb of God. People will come to the church. They won't know why. They'll be drawn to come to the church, to become members of the church, and to come back to the sacraments. The name of the chapel is the Queen of Angels Adoration Chapel, because Our Lady and the angels want to lead us to Christ. That's the role of the angels. That's the role of our Blessed Mother, to help us focus on Jesus, the Lamb of God. And it's also dedicated, our chapel is dedicated in loving memory of Tom Vanderwoody, who gave his life, as you know, for his son. But for years, a lot of people don't know this, every Saturday morning, Friday night into Saturday morning, he would come, and his holy hour was 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 a.m. That was his hour with the Lord. And he never missed. For years he did this at All Saints and here at Holy Trinity the last number of years. And so I want to ask Tom's intercession that all of us will be inspired to make that holy hour each week, sometime during the week, in the morning, in the afternoon, or the evening, or even early in the morning, that we'll be willing to make that gift of love, that sacrifice, to spend that time with the Lord. And obviously, the blessings that come from that are of infinite value to our souls. So after we come and see and spend time with the Lord, then we should be like Andrew and John, who go out and bring others to Christ. Just as Andrew brought Peter, so you have to bring loved ones to the Blessed Sacrament. Bring friends and neighbors and relatives, and have them come as well to spend time with the Lord in Eucharistic adoration. So tonight, we have the grand opening of our Adoration Chapel. May it be the beginning of many years of graces and blessings and returns of the sacraments, that we'll all gaze upon Christ, the Lamb of God. God bless you.